Okay, I'm going to get started because I have a lot of stuff to talk about. My name's Beth Massey, and you're in the class Light Switch Advanced Development and Customization Techniques. So we're going to get a little bit deeper into Light Switch, its framework, and how to customize it, okay, for a little bit beyond what we did yesterday. So who was in that talk yesterday, the intro class? Okay, so of the people that weren't in the intro class, I really hope you know what Light Switch is and you've built an application or played with it. Who has not done that in the room? Okay, so you might be a little lost, but if you were in the intro class yesterday, it's a continuation of that. But if you have questions that are, you go ahead and interrupt me, that's fine. If it gets a little bit too, you know, off topic, then we'll discuss afterwards, okay? I want you guys to follow it, but this is kind of more of the advanced stuff. Okay, so who am I, if you weren't in my other class? I'm Beth Massey. I work on the Visual Studio team, a BizApps team within Visual Studio. We build the tools for Office and SharePoint, Azure, as well as Visual Studio Light Switch Edition. I've been at Microsoft for 5 years, almost 5 years, yeah. Pretty cool. They haven't fired me yet. And before that, I had a lot of experience building business applications, particularly in the healthcare field. So I know a lot about data and business apps. And I was an architect MVP. So Light Switch is the simplest way to build business applications, not only for your desktop, but also the web and also Azure. Okay, so yesterday I showed an application, I think I showed the application running in Azure, okay, in the end. So that kind of eliminates the problem of having to maintain on-premise these applications. But obviously, you can deploy them in any way that you want, okay? So I would like to just mention that we had a contest, it just ended, and there's a lot of interesting case studies. We have about, I think there's maybe 35 submissions up there. Go to bit.ly Lightswitch star. That contest has a lot of interesting applications that people submitted, some running in Azure, some not. It gives you a really good idea of what people are doing with Lightswitch, what types of apps they're building. Okay, so I wanted to just mention that. So if you're interested in kind of getting a little bit of an overview of what people are building, I think that that would be a good place to start. Okay, so I'm going to just recap what we talked about yesterday. I was kind of going over a very high level, like how to build an app end-to-end. Okay, today what we're going to do is we're going to start to peel off the covers of what was really going on and get a little bit deeper and get kind of into the framework itself. But Light Switch is really about data and screens. Okay, so if your application doesn't have anything to do with data, then Light Switch probably isn't a good fit. Okay, if your application is primarily about UI or, you know, some other gaming, that kind of thing, then Light Switch is not a good fit. But if your application is primarily around data, that could be in any data source, not just a database, but like, you know, SharePoint or whatever type of data you have, and it's about visualizing, searching, and analyzing that data, then Light Switch is a good fit. So we describe our data and we create screens for that data. And then in a typical business application, we'll start writing business logic. Okay, so we write logic, we customize the screen layouts, we define queries. At this point, your application can be pretty much done, okay? You're going to get a very basic look and feel, like the default, you know, shell and theme, the default controls. We have, you know, text boxes and date pickers and all that stuff, right? But a standard set of controls, a standard set of, the look and feel of your application. A lot of times we want to extend that, though. We want to go beyond what's in the box in Light Switch. And so Light Switch has an entire extensibility model available for you as a professional developer to tap into. You can create your own controls and use those on the screens in Light Switch. We'll do one of those today. You can create your own data sources. You can create RIA services themselves and expose any other data source that's not out of the box, you know, that we support. So you can also take a look and we can download the ecosystem. The community has created a lot of extensions. Okay, so these extensions are like Visual Studio extensions, but they extend Light Switch. They extend there's 6 extensibility points, and they extend a lot of different things, like the shells and the themes. But they also create business types and validators and things that make you, like, help you work with Office, for instance, anything that, Light Switch doesn't do out of the box, you can provide as an add-in, okay, for a Light Switch developer themselves to use. Okay, so we'll build one of those as well today. Okay, so we'll talk about what the extensibility in Light Switch is all about. Okay, so I'm going to focus. Yesterday we focused on the start and refine. Today we're going to focus on the extend. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the architecture of a Light Switch application. When we have finished building an application, what's really going on underneath the covers? Now, a Light Switch developer themselves may not care, okay, because the Light Switch kind of abstracts all of this away from them. But as a professional developer that's going to be writing extensions for Light Switch, you need to understand what is the architecture, what is it really doing. So we have a client tier, middle tier, and your data access tier, okay, your data source. Very typical pattern for building a business application. So if you were going to build your own business applications from scratch, you would follow this pattern. Client tier, we are using Silverlight on the client, okay, right now. Light Switch is generating this at compile time, actually. So when you're creating a Light Switch app, you're actually creating a model. You're creating a big file, really, that we read, and we're creating this for you when you compile, okay? So we're outputting Silverlight 4 as the client, okay? So that allows us to have a browser host, browser-based host for, you know, computers other than Windows computers, or you can have it as a desktop application, meaning you want to access full trust, access the file system, access COM, interop, that kind of stuff, okay, working on Windows machines. So Silverlight is a really good fit for those types of business apps that need to be deployed in different ways, okay, and it's a very small, lightweight client, okay. So on top of, and we use RIA services to communicate with the middle tier, on top of the, you know, the standard, you know, standard .NET stuff, Silverlight, right? We're just building on top of it. We're not inventing a new technology, client technology. All Light Switch does is kind of wrap the current technologies we're probably using today to build these types of applications. So on top of the services layer, we have what's called a data workspace. And the data workspace is what marshals back and forth. This is like what you can think of when you create a screen. The data that the user has edited is passed, okay? This state and the data updates, inserts, and deletes that they're working with, they're passed to the middle tier via RIA services. Okay, there's a submit pipeline that executes that you can add code into, and I'll show you that today. There's queries that execute, too, on the middle tier. And so Light Switch is handling all of this stuff for us, all the plumbing underneath. On the middle tier, full .NET framework, your app is hosted in ASP.NET. Okay, so it's just a web application in the end. You guys have written Silverlight apps? Okay, so it's really just a Silverlight app in the end. You have a zap file, you got some DLLs, it's hosted in a web application. Okay, so, but the Light Switch framework itself, the runtime we call it, is doing a lot of the plumbing for you. You don't have to worry about it. And our data access is just the data storage, okay? Out of the box, we support any version of SQL Server, SQL Azure, SharePoint. Other just means whatever entity framework for provider you have installed will work, okay? So Oracle, MySQL, those guys, okay? All right, so it's good. We're going to get kind of more into what the data workspace is and the submit pipeline, okay? So you can take a look a little bit deeper at that. All right, so the building blocks of Light Switch. Yesterday we went over like these high-level concepts here, screens, queries, entities, and rewrote some business logic. When you get into the, and that's a specific SKU, a Visual Studio SKU edition, okay, Light Switch edition. Then we can, as a professional developers, we probably have Pro, Premium, or Ultimate installed on our machines, okay, right? Yes, everybody? Okay, so cool. So if you have those installed and you install Light Switch will just integrate into those versions, okay? So this is a very simplified IDE that's just meant for building Light Switch apps. This, of course, is the NASA Control Center that you guys all have on your desktops. And what you can do with those versions is you can start to create a lot of different customizations. You can build Silverlight controls because you have the Silverlight templates now. You build your own Silverlight controls. Say there's a control that Light Switch doesn't have and you need it, like a chart or something, okay? Something specific for your business. You can create a Silverlight control and plop that onto the screens, okay? Same thing with custom WCF services or RIA services. So you say you have a data source that's not supported out of the box. You can wrap a RIA service around that data source. So you're basically just telling Lightswitch how to do the CRUD part, okay? How to do the, you know, the retrieval of the data and the update of the data, okay? Also, we can write what's called extensions. Now we can go even further. You can customize code, you can customize controls, you can customize the data sources, just how you're used to doing, like with projects, with Silverlight projects and RIA service projects. But if you really want to start distributing packages, you've created a cool control and now you want to sell it, for instance, or you want to give it away free to the community because you love everybody, right? You just want to give stuff away because that's what we do, right? Then you want to go into what's called more of an extensibility model. We have an extensibility model which allows you to create V6 packages. Have you guys ever used a extension for Visual Studio, like the Power Tools or whatever? Those are V6 packages, right? Okay, so you go to the extension manager and you download these things. It's the same way in Lightswitch. There are specific extension points here. Data providers, custom controls, screen templates, application themes, shells, and business types. Okay, business types, yesterday I showed a business type, email address, money, phone number, those are all built into Lightswitch. You can create your own, I don't know, social security numbers, packaging SKU, whatever, okay, for your business. Then zip code, maybe you have a special way you validate zip codes or edit zip codes. Okay, you can create these business types and then you can give them away or sell them. Okay, or give them to your developers, or give them to your Lightswitch developers in your enterprise because you want them to use a specific methodology of developing applications. And you can guide them doing that by creating these extensions. Okay, so you just need to have the Visual Studio proper editions for that, pro or higher, to do that. Okay, so some of the things you can do with just Lightswitch Edition, though, there's a lot of stuff. Okay, you can customize the screen layouts and the workflows of the screens themselves, the save and submit pipelines, okay, the validation process. You can write very complex business logic to call web services to validate, you know, addresses and things like that. You can do comm interop. You can work with Office. You can do all sorts of stuff. The only thing you need Pro for is to actually package those extensions up, create custom controls and RIA services, okay? All right, so we're going to go through kind of like the whole gamut of customization. We're going to start with like just code customization and a lot of the more advanced things you can do within the Lightswitch development environment itself. And then we'll start to move towards custom controls and then build some extensions. Okay? All right, so let's go ahead and get out of the slides. Maybe go back to those later. So yesterday I had Visual Studio Lightswitch Edition. I have Ultimate here. Okay, we're going to go into Ultimate, so we're going to have a lot of menus, items, and doohickeys. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run an application that's finished first, and then we'll back up and we will write some of these features that I'm going to show you. I think it's easier just to take a look at the finished application first. Actually, should have opened it first. But all right, so this application I'm going to show you is actually a sample that's available from the Developer Center. It's called Contoso Construction. I actually wrote this app. The history is this. I was doing a lot of construction on my house about 5 years ago, and my contractor was taking all these pictures, and he was losing these SD. He had SD cards all over his truck, and he's just like totally unorganized guy, right? I mean, as a contractor, they're kind of knuckleheads, but you know, he's like writing things on paper. He's got paper thrown everywhere, and card pictures, and I'm like, you know, I can write you an application to organize these pictures at least. He's like, oh, okay, cool. So we got it. It was a tablet app, you know, and I wrote it in WinForms, of course. But I had the tablet API, so it had hand recognition, and he just stuck his pictures in, and it managed all his pictures, and it saved in a little SQL Express database. And it took me like 3 weeks to build it, you know. I mean, I had a real job too, but you know, I charged him like I don't know $5,000 or something for the thing. Okay, so if I had had Lightswitch, I basically rewrote this thing in like 3 days, have way more features than he ever had with Lightswitch. Okay? It does a lot more. So let's take a look at what this does. So it's really meant for managing construction projects. Now, it's always funny. Every time I come to the Netherlands, like things are under construction. Like, you could use a lot of construction in this country. So I think it's very appropriate to have this application when I go through this. Like, there's always cranes everywhere. I got off of the Hague Central Station. The whole thing's under construction. I'm like, what's going on? Okay, so you can see right away that the application uses a very customized layout here, this home screen. You see a set of commands on this side. It's actually in a tab control, okay, with only one tab. Then we have personalization. You see my upcoming appointment. So the application knows who the logged in user is. It's using that as part of the query system. So that's filtering rows out that you shouldn't be able to see. And then we have current projects here listed down here. So let's open up one of the projects. Okay, you'll see the layout has like a static images and text at the top. It looks a little bit like a little nicer than some of the templates you get out of the box. So we have project materials. This is pulling up from a list of materials. It's like, you know, using a modal window picker instead, because we have thousands and thousands and thousands of items, so a drop down wouldn't make sense in that case. So we've got searching, we've got paging, that sort of stuff on this data. And so I'll just put some heat insulation on here. We've got pictures. All this stuff comes for free, like these editors, so I could go ahead and add a new picture. I don't know if I have a picture of my house somewhere, but actually I have, yeah, I think I do. If you see this, there's like a little editor. This is already built in the light switch. I didn't have to write any of that. So let's see if I have a picture here. Probably somewhere. My pictures. Sure, I don't have a picture of my house, but here's a Halloween picture. All right, that's what I was for Halloween. So it's a big picture. So it's going to load it in there in a second. There it is. I was the devil. So, okay. All right, so, and then you'll just save to the database. Now, this isn't a customization. This isn't a custom control. This is built right into LightSwitch itself, okay? But it manages some pictures. And then I've got some project notes over here. Nice thing about this is it's got integration with Office, okay? So everything you can in LightSwitch by default lets you export data from any data grid into Excel. Okay, that's already built in for free. But what I really want to do is I want to provide more of a status report. Okay, so this automated Office. Okay, so this is a customization that I built. Okay, so actually I built, and then I'm going to show you there's a free extension out there that you can use that will let you do this as well. Okay, so that's kind of nice. Okay, I'm just creating content controls here, and then I'm populating the data, okay, with content controls, with XML. Okay, so there's an example. Another thing is we've got some reports here. Like, here's some projects over budget. This is just a regular query. Okay, I've got, you know, some colorization going on here. That's all very standard LightSwitch stuff. But the query itself to run this to figure out how much the total cost. I have to aggregate all the materials on the project itself. And so to do that, we had to write some code, and we'll write that in a minute. But there's a lot of different types of reports that I probably want to provide to the user, and I don't want to have to recompile my app and every time create a report for them, recompile my app, redeploy it, and then they have the report. You know, that gets kind of old. What we really want to do is usually just provide some different filtering for them, sorting maybe. So this control here at the top is a free extension as well. It's very similar to our query designer. Okay, so you can add clauses, you can add groups. Okay, you can and or whatever, or not. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say where our customer, last name, maybe equals. Okay, you have the same choices as our query designer. I'll just say Massey. Okay. This will just execute those filters for you. Okay, so it's a nice little custom control you can use for free. Okay, and then from there you can export to Excel. Another thing is we've got this materials catalog. This was the choice list that we were, or the modal window picker we were using on our project. So this is the master list. I can actually import from Excel the data. Okay, so let's see, I've got here, not moving inventory. Here, structural materials. Okay, so this is a list of all of the data that I want to actually put into the system. So it's going to read all the data, and what it's going to see is it's going to try to match up the columns that I have inside of the spreadsheet with the LightSwitch column itself. So I have a name, and a cost is MSRP. Okay? And when I do that, LightSwitch, this extension will just import all that data from Excel. Okay, and then you can just save it from there. All right, so the validation will run everything on the middle tier at this point when they press save. Okay. I don't want to put those in the system. Okay, but that's a nice little import from Excel that's also available as part of the Office integration pack. Okay, so So you can get a kind of a feeling of what, you know, this is a little bit more customized. It does a couple different things than a standard standard light switch app. So let's take a look at how we even built some of this stuff. Okay, so the first thing I want to go through here is to show you the home screen. Okay, let's take a look at the view model and the content tree. So you'll see I have a lot of these just static images and text. See, they're just properties inside the view model itself. Okay, I add them by adding a data item, local property, what the type is of the property is. If it's a label, it's a label. If it's a picture, it's a picture. Okay, so, and then you can start adding these items to your view model. Okay, and from there you can use them, drop them on the screen. So you're designing a very complex screen. It's very easy in LightSwitch to start with a template. So if I do this, but there's a trick. Add a screen. Here are the templates that you have. But for instance, say I want to start with, you know, maybe a list in details, but I actually don't even need to pick any data. You just say, okay, no data. There you go. You got an empty screen, right? Okay, so you could start completely from scratch. It's just a trick to don't pick any data, and LightSwitch will just give you this empty kind of template. But from there, you could start, now you can start say, okay, maybe I want to use appointments. From here, you can start dragging things and dropping things, and that's how you can design the screens, okay? So that allows you the flexibility of creating your completely your own layouts. Once you get started here, it's better to just run it and from there tweak what it looks like while it's running in customization mode. But this gives you the ability to go ahead and add all the things that you want manually, because I know you guys like to do things manually because you guys are developers. Okay. Let's take a look at the query. Interesting query. Let's go here. Close this down. Let's open up the version here, this version that has pieces missing, and we'll write them, okay? It's the same app, I just pulled some parts out. So what I want to do is I want to create that projects over budget query. And how the heck do we create that query? Because we need to look at a collection of children and aggregate those children to figure out what the costs are for the project. If we take a look at the, here, let me get this pinned. If we take a look at the data model, you'll see that projects are related, have a one-to-many relation to project material. These are the project materials used on the project. And they have, project materials have a quantity, a price, and what is the material. Okay, so I need to figure out how this, if this project is over budget, I need to add up all the project materials, figure out what that cost is, aggregate all those, figure out that cost, add it to the labor, okay, that would be the actual cost. And then I compare that to the original estimate. Okay, you know, contractors will give you an estimate. I think it's going to cost $1,000, and then it ends up costing $15,000. You know, like, ah. Okay, so what we want to do is provide this report to this contractor that, hey, you're going over budget, you know, all right? So let's write a query. I'm going to right-click on the projects. We're going to add a new query. Now, the query designer, let's call this projects over budget. Okay. If I go ahead and add a filter here, what I really need to do is I need to figure out what's the cost of my materials. Notice that the designer doesn't display children. It only displays the navigation properties up to the parent, okay, because it's like single values, right, that it needs to evaluate in the designer. Now, there's an escape hatch. I call it the developer escape hatch. You guys know what an escape hatch is? It's like, get me out of here. Okay. The write code button is the developer escape hatch on every single designer inside of LightSwitch. We have the write code. And you can always drop into all these hooks that LightSwitch provides for you to do stuff. And in this case, we're going to have to write this query manually, okay? And that's exactly what the pre-processed query is for. Okay, so, all right, we got this projects over budget. Let me show you what I'm getting here. Okay, what's LightSwitch passing us here? This is the query. Okay, what's kind of cool here is that you can design what you need to in the designer, and now the query is being passed into you. It already has those filters and those sorts, okay? And then you can do additional processing on the query, okay? I don't have anything in the designer, so this will be just an empty query so far, but we're going to create it ourselves. So what we really want to do is we want to say the query, okay? All right, what do we need to do? We need to figure out from the projects in query, because it's the iQueryable of project. All right, we're going to need to figure out the cost, so let's create a variable. Cost equals, we're going to have to aggregate the materials in p.projectMaterials. Okay, so there's the collection of children there. Into the sum of price, right, times quantity. All right, we got that plus the labor. Sorry, there we go. Plus p.labor. Okay, so that's the actual cost. All right, and then we need to do where the cost is greater than the original estimate. Okay, we'll order by the start date select p. All right, does that make sense? Just I wrote a link query. Okay, so you're able to write a link query. You could go lambda crazy if you're C# people. Go crazy. Okay, I'm not. I'm VB, easier to read. So what I've done is I've just created the query completely in code. All right, so this should give us the right answer. All we need to do is create a screen for this. So let's add a new screen. I'm going to create it's an editable grid screen is fine. Actually, let's do a search data screen because it should be uneditable. And now we can go ahead and say projects over budget. Okay, that's going to be our data on the screen. Okay, so let's go ahead and run this. It should look cool. It should be right. Should have some data in there. This is a little bit different data than the other app. It may have a little bit difference. I think I've got two records, though. Okay, so here's the search projects over budget, and there it is. Okay, the two projects over budget. Let's take a look at the cost. And okay, there's the total cost and the original estimate. There, the estimated 2,000 and it went to 2,300. Okay, all right. So that's kind of how you can customize the queries themselves. Okay, any questions on queries, advanced queries? Yes. So you're saying that you want to continue modifying the query?
If you have many parameters, mm-hmm. You want to do many ifs.
Right, yeah.
Make a lot of changes to the query object.
Okay, so yes, you can do that. And actually, there I have an example of one of those that has a parameter. And I'm making a decision of what query to run based on the parameter, basically. So that is actually current projects, I believe. Current projects. Okay, it has a parameter of show all projects. So by default, I'm only showing the current projects, meaning projects that haven't been closed out. Okay, but if someone says, yeah, passes a true in here, then I want to just return all the projects in the system. So if we go to the right code of the preprocessed query, I've got some logic here. You know, if it has a value, you know, if it doesn't have a value, then make it false. Okay, and then I'm saying if you don't want to show all the projects, then put an additional filter on here. So you could actually do that. When the parameter changes, Lightswitch will re-execute this query. Okay.
But if you have another parameter,
yeah,
and you put that below there, and you change the query object again, does that decrease performance?
No, because the query doesn't actually execute right here. It's pre-processing it, and then you hand it to the pipeline, and the pipeline will execute it at that point. Okay, so it's good. You're going to make a decision about how you build up the query, but it's actually not executing at this point. It's Lightswitch is executing it for you. Now, you can control. This is a good question. It's a good advanced question, actually. You can control how the queries run, and I have a really blog post that details why you would do this. But for instance, let's go to the search current projects. This is that query we're just looking at. You could say, here's the current projects. We could go into the properties for that, and here's the auto execute query. We could uncheck that. So for instance, say I just have one parameter here, this checkbox, show completed. But what if I had like five parameters, and some were optional. Let's say they were all optional, okay? Now, if they're all optional, and I fill out one of them, You know, light switch will execute the query over and over. Like any time I change a parameter, it'll execute, if you have auto execute on. So that can get performance-wise, depending on what your query is, can be not good. Maybe you want them to fill all of these parameters out, or optionally fill all these parameters out, and then hit a button to say go, right? So that's where you would say, okay, uncheck the auto execute query, put a little button on your form, okay? When they click go, you just call the load of the query, okay? Currentprojects.load. All right, so you can manually handle that situation. So that would help your performance in that case. Does that make sense? Cool. Yeah? Reuse the results, so that query itself, you could do any additional processing that you want to in the pre-process, but then after the query executes, there's another event or another method that you could handle. So let's go back to our... Yeah, and so that would be this, the current projects, whatever returns back comes on your screen. I mean, it's the state is right here in your view model. Okay, so then you could do another button against me current projects, something, whatever you want. Eliminate rows from there, show only certain things. The only requirement from a query, okay, so when you write these things, let's go back over here. The requirement is that you have to, where did I put that one? Here. The requirement is I can't return a projection. I have to return a collection of project objects. Like that's a light switch restriction, okay? You can't return P dot, you know, original estimate and total cost, and that's it. You can't return an anonymous type because light switch doesn't know what anonymous type is. It's an anonymous type. There's no type. Light switch needs to know what the type of the thing is, okay, in order to bind it correctly, okay, and display it correctly and do all of these things, okay? So you wouldn't be able to return, like, some magic type. You would have to return items or entities that you have defined inside your application data, okay, or wherever data source you're in. Okay, so it needs to return one of these entities. Does that make sense? If you need variables that are not in your database, no, you could create that on the screen view model if you need, and then you could read from another data source if you want to. Like, say you want a data drive the variables, then yes, you would do an entity, but if you don't need a data drive the variables, then you could just put them on your view model. It would just depend. And actually, LightSwitch will put parameters for all queries in your view model by default. Okay, so we had that one, the current projects. So the current search current projects. Okay, so there's the parameter, right? Show completed projects. It actually automatically creates that parameter. That could be in your view model, and you would set it manually if you wanted. Yes? Yes, it can handle that as long as you model whatever table or data source in the entity designer, okay, or you bring it in. Yeah, but you know there is a value, right? So it's just object, right? So the columns are... LightSwitch needs to know what the columns are, the fields itself. Now, if you have a variable amount of fields going on and off of your result sets, then no. Wouldn't be able to. Will show up as object. It won't? Oh, I didn't know that. I got to check that out then, because I've used variants before, so we should talk afterwards and make sure. We'll play with it. I got to move on. We got a lot of stuff to go. Let's kind of, we'll continue query talk after that, after the talk. All right, so query talk after the talk. I got a lot of stuff to show. So let's get into the submit pipeline, okay? So that's query pipeline, submit pipeline. I'm going to open up my email. Do I have internet? Let's see. Do I have internet? I do now. Let's see if it works. It's Europe. Let's see if it works. Okay, so I say that out loud. I've got an email here. I don't want you to see all my email. That's not the point. But what I have here is an appointments table. And in this particular application, when I make an appointment between a customer and an employee, they both have email addresses. Okay, a customer has an email address. And so does the employee. If the email addresses are filled out, I want in the submit, once the submit pipeline goes in, right, it goes in to save the appointments, I want to shoot an email off to these two people that sends them an appointment, okay? So I want to create an iCalendar request, and I want to send it via email. All right, how do I do that? Like, that's not part of, like, built in the box, okay? I don't actually need an extension to do that. I can actually customize the pipeline myself. So I'm going to go from logical view. There's actually a file view. This is very interesting, right? So LightSwitch shows you your application in a logical way, right? And so this is the Solution Explorer, but typically we're looking at sets of files, projects and files. You guys are used to projects and files. This is just the logical view. You can still get to the file view. Okay, this is all the projects and files. You see, there's the client, there's the server, there's the common project. Okay, so what I'm going to do in the server project, there's this user code folder. Now, remember, that's where we were writing the query. That's just the application data service file. Okay. Well, I've also got my own. I'm going to include. I've got this own little class that I wrote called an SMTP mail helper. You could write any code you want, anything you want, and you can inject it into the project itself. And now it's available to the submit pipeline. In this case, I'm reading some settings from the web config on, you know, what the SMTP server settings are, and I'm just creating a mail address and a mail message. This is just .NET Framework 4 types, and then I'm creating this iCal request. Okay, the implementation details are not important. What's important to note is that I've created a helper class that's totally custom code, and now I'm going to go into this application data service, or another way to look at it is if you go back to file logical view, we go to our appointments. Okay. What I really want to do is I want to customize. Let's get this to drop down here. Come here. Resolution is small. Come here. Jeez. All right. Close that. Yes. All right. The button is not working. What the heck? That's annoying. Awesome. Hold on. We'll close and reopen it. I don't know. Because I want to show you how the hooks work in the designer. Let's see if this works. Damn, I don't know. What's my resolution somewhere? All right. Never mind. That's lame. All right. Let's go over here. View code. All right. So that's the table code. Really what I want to do is I want to view this code. If my button isn't working, that's going to be a pain. No, I don't want to have to do that. Pain in the butt. All right. Yeah, my Visual Studio is kind of slowing down. I don't know why. Does this button work? Well, that works. I wanted to show you the hooks for the appointment, which is not a pain in my butt. All right. Crap. No problem. We'll just go back to file view, grab the file. it's server user code. All right, that's a bug. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go into the application, and we'll just look at it this way. All right, so we get appointments. Okay, so appointments, we have updating already and inserting. What I want to do is I want to handle the updated, inserted, and deleted events because I want to send an email, okay, that sets up the appointment, send an email that changes the appointment, or send an email that cancels the appointment. All right, so that's what our SMTP mail helper will do. And because I'm fighting this, I'm going to just go into here, grab some code. Okay, so this code is just calling that class. Okay, and I'll just stick it in here. All right, so here we go. Inserted, send the appointment. There's all the entity fields that need to be in the appointment. Okay, and updated, send the appointment, okay, and then deleting just has a true, just say cancel the appointment. All right, so I want to run this because I want to show you it working, and if I have internet, everything will be happy. Let's see if we do. Looks like we do. Okay, cool. So let's go. I have my email open because you're going to see a little email, hopefully, in the corner. It may take 5 minutes. We'll move on, and then when you see it, like, stop me and go, yeah, there it is, okay? All right, because I don't know how long the internet takes here, but, you know, sending an email could take a while. I have no idea. All right, so think about this. What you end up getting out of this is you can intercept anything that's going on as your data is moving in and out of the database and react on that. Okay, so in this case, we're going to send an email from test user to Beth Massey. Go over project details. All right, I'm going to make it so it's a little bit later. So it shows up on my calendar, 12 to 12:30. All right, save. Hopefully I have connectivity. If not, we'll get an error. So hopefully you're running. This would be running on the server side, by the way, okay, which is my laptop right now. Okay, so it looks like everything happened. So your server is your server side, your middle tier is communicating with your SMTP server in this case, not the client. All right. So that's when we're in the application data service, that's the server side. Okay, so that's the code you can write on the server side. All right, so if you see something pop up over there, that's my email. All right, the other thing that we have here, by the way, is this show map of the location. Okay, so this is actually a custom control, big map control. It's also free. Forgot to mention that. That's a pretty nice extension that DPE wrote. Okay. All right, so that's the pipeline. Let's get a little bit deeper into the framework of the API of Lightswitch itself. Like, because really what's going on underneath the covers is just entity framework. Okay, if you're familiar with entity framework, that's what we're working with, entities. Okay, so Lightswitch kind of like abstracts it a little bit higher level though. So what I'm going to do to demonstrate that is, someone asked me yesterday, I don't know if he's here, someone asked me yesterday if Lightswitch handles auditing or change logging. Okay, so when we change a field in a table, you want to log that, okay, what the previous value was and what the current value is. So what I'm going to do is I want to create an audit trail on our employees. We have an employee screen. They have some salary information. It's a little sensitive, so I want to know who's been changing this. So we're going to create a new table. Okay, let's add a new table called employee change. Okay, and let's add some fields. We're just going to do change by, which is actually a string and it's required. We got new values, old values, and we'll just do an updated timestamp, date time. Okay, now I'm going to add a relationship to my employee. Okay, so we have many changes on an employee. All right, so now what I want to do is I want to handle, if I can, hey, there we go. It's dropping down now. Okay, I want to handle we could handle inserting, updating, deleting, but I'm just going to do an updating. Okay, so as we're updating the employee, I want to write into the change log as well what's changing, right? So, the reason why the email sent, but my email is not connected. Why? Oh, well, you guys get the idea. I'm going to show you how to write an audit trail right here. Okay. All right. Okay, let's walk through this code. Oops. I already have the sub. Okay. There we go. All right, so let's take a look here. The employees are updating. Everything's going to go going through the submit pipeline. What I'm going to do is now I'm going to add a new row, a new employee changes. Okay, so, and then I'm going to start setting those properties. The employee, the updated, the changed by. Here's how we get the user. Okay, there's a user object off of application. Now, here's the interesting part. Your entity, okay, entity dot. I'm Visual Basic, so this is showing all the common properties, right? Like, you know, there's what the properties are on the entity itself, on the employee. Okay. There's a details property on every entity. When we go in here, now we're starting to peel back the onion layer of what's the API? What's the Lightswitch API here? So detail, we kind of hide it under details so that a Lightswitch developer isn't overwhelmed with all of these properties that are on an entity. So dig into details, and now you'll see what, you know, the entity conflict, the entity set, the whole set, what the entity state is, added, you know, updated, discarded. Okay, the methods, whether it has been validated. Here are all the properties. So you can reflect over an entity. You don't know what the entity's type is. You can reflect over its properties and get all of its fields names. Okay, so that's what I'm doing here. I'm saying, you know, for every property, okay, that's of the type storage property. I don't care about calculated fields. I just care about what's stored in the table itself. If it's not the ID, because I don't care about the ID, that's not really anything interesting. I'm going to just concatenate a bunch of strings, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the original value. I'm going to compare the original value and the current value. If they're different, I'm going to log that change. Okay, so that's how you can get to the original values. All right, so except that I messed this up because I think I called them old values. Right, okay. All right, so let's go ahead and create a screen that shows this stuff. So new screen, add a screen. Let's just make it a search screen for employee changes. Okay, so before I run this, though, I probably don't want to allow users to modify the audit trail, right? You don't want to allow users to change the audit trail. This is like a record, a log, right? So really what I want to do is I want to add some permissions into the system to not allow people to change this. So let's go and add some permissions. I'm going to add ones like can change log. Let's just do that, okay? Okay, and I'm not going to grant it for me, okay? So we want to see what happens when we don't allow that grant. Okay, so now I just need to check this. So let's go over to, back over to employee changes, write code. Again, I have a feeling it has to do with the Solution Explorer, like expanding or whatever. All right, let's just go over here to our employee changes. Okay, and can insert, can read, can update. Okay, so there's the can update. Okay, that's what I want to handle. The result is going to equal to me.application user has permission. Okay, permissions can change log. All right, so now users can't change the log at all, right? Okay, what have I just done, though? Does anybody see the problem here? I've got a bug. I want to do this, can update and can add. I don't want to add records in. I don't want to delete. Actually, we should probably just do this. Can update. Right, can insert. Oops. Right, we want to make sure that we can't do any of this stuff. I can't change any of these rows, all right? Well, the problem is, though, now that I have this, this subroutine is saying, hey, if you don't have permission to change the log, then you can't insert rows into this table. And what am I doing here? I'm trying to insert a row into this table, right? Like, crap. How are we going to do this? Because I don't want users to do this, but I want my code to be able to do this, okay? So the way you do this is there's a permission elevation, okay? So that's what we need to do. We need to elevate permissions just for this particular subroutine to run, okay, this method to run. All right, so we could do this, me.application.user.add permission, and then now we can just say what is the permissions to add, okay? So you can do a bunch of them if you want. You don't need to then remove them, because what's going to happen is Lightswitch will automatically set the permission sets back at the end of this method, okay? So right here, it goes back. And it's per transaction, per submit. Okay, so when we're going into the submit pipeline, this method's going to run. It's going to elevate the permission just temporarily, and then everything's going to be fine. The user themselves will still not be able to modify the data. Okay, make sense? Cool. If it doesn't, just nod your head anyways. Okay, so I'm going to make a change. Oh, I probably have to do one thing, actually. Yeah, so the one thing that I have to do is I have to basically give myself access to the employee screen itself. So, and the way to do that in this particular application is I just grant the security administration. Okay, so grant that one. Sorry about that. Okay, so, because those screens are locked down too. Okay, so now that I'm an administrator, I can go ahead and add employees and modify employees. But nobody can change the log. See, there's administration. So there's manage employees. All right, so let's go ahead and there's user test. There's the salary. We'll make a $3 million, because, you know, I'm a contractor. $3 million a year. That's how much I make. That's probably how much contractors make. All right. All right, so saved it. All right, so now we're going to go and we're going to go to our changes screen. Where did I put the changes screen? There, search employee changes. Okay, and here's our original values and our, here, open that up. There they are. Okay, I need to make the columns wider. I probably should make the concatenation a little bit better. But notice that I can't modify any of these rows, okay, and I can't add any rows, okay? So the security is working properly, okay? Any questions on what I just did? No. Okay. Cool. No one was confused. Okay, so that's how you can get into the submit pipeline. That's a little bit of flavor of what the API kind of looks like around the data, what you can do with data. We've played with queries. So now I want to start doing some deeper customizations. Okay, so let's just flip back to the slides real quick here. All right, so there are 6 extensibility points in LightSwitch. Okay, the controls, you can create your own controls. Screen templates, those list of templates, you can add your own in there if you'd like. If you keep creating the same layout over and over, you can add a screen template. Business types, so that was like what I said, email address and phone, those are built in. You can create your own. So when your entity types, when you select on your properties on your entities, you can select your own business types. Themes, that's just the colors, then the fonts and the brushes inside of the app itself, and you can change the look and feel. A shell is like a totally different skin, okay, which is pretty cool. You can change around the entire shell so that it doesn't even look like a business app anymore, if you'd like. And you can create custom data sources, okay? So that would be any kind of RIA service that you want to create to wrap around a data source that we don't provide out of the box. Okay, so to install an extension, you just use the extension manager, exactly like you would for any other Visual Studio extension. LightSwitch, the addition of LightSwitch, that particular addition, when you open Extension Manager, it automatically filters only to LightSwitch extensions. If you have Pro or Premium or Ultimate, you'll need to just search for a LightSwitch extension, all right? Or you could just hand a V6 package to somebody and they can click it and install it. Okay, so there are some requirements for building the extensions. As I mentioned, you're going to need to have Visual Studio Pro or higher, plus Service Pack 1, it's important. Then you'll need to install LightSwitch. You'll need the Visual Studio SDK, and this is just for creating V6 packages in general. You need that SDK. But we've also created a LightSwitch extensibility toolkit that allows you, that kind of guides you into creating these particular type of extensions. Okay, there's particular requirements that LightSwitch has in order to different types of extensions. And then you upload them to the gallery, and people will either love you or ridicule you because the thing is stupid, you know. So either it's going to be awesome or it's going to be not awesome, and you're either going to make money or not make money on it, okay? Or you're going to give it away for free, like I always say. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into customizing this a bit. The first level of customization I want to show you is just using the extensions. So when we go to, tools, Extension Manager. I already have a bunch of extensions installed. Let's see if the gallery is online here. See if I have an internet connection. I don't know. Did I ever get that email? Yeah, the internet's a little widgy. Oh, here we go. Okay, so. I think there's about 80 or more extensions available now. Okay, here we go. Here's all the extensions for LightSwitch. I already have a couple of them installed. There's the Office Integration Pack. This is by GridLogic. It's a free extension, and it just gives you some of those capabilities I was showing you to integrate with Word, Excel, and Outlook. There's a bunch of themes. There's templates to get you started with certain types of starter kits they are to get you started with particular types of applications. And DevExpress has a set of editors, a report writer. Some of these are free. Some of these are not free. Okay, so a lot of the major component vendors have some really nice controls that you can use. Okay, so I already have installed. The one I want to kind of work with a little bit is this Office Integration Pack. So I'm going to go to the project detail screen because that's where we have that button that interacts with Word, right? So we've got this, project status report. Okay, if I go to the execute code, let's take a look at what I got here. All right, so I'm going to say me run Office Integration Report. Now, when I install, when I install an extension, using the extension is totally up to whatever the extension is doing. Okay, in this particular extension, there's a set of, you know, of requirements that I have to do, fill out here. What I'm really just doing is providing a template, the project status report, and then I'm just telling the Office Integration Pack what the mapping is between the content controls on the template and the actual properties on my entity. All right, so that's just how this works. And then you just call it generate document, and then I'm also generating a table, a bookmarked table inside. You know, that's the list of materials. Okay, so it's not a ton of code. It's a lot less than if I was going to have to do this manually. Okay, and manually import this stuff. Okay, so that's all the automation you really need. The Office Integration Pack does everything else. In order to enable it in the system or in the application, we go to the extensions tab. Once you actually install the thing, okay, in Visual Studio, then you just check it off here to enable it in the project. Once you enable it in the project here, it will copy the DLLs or the assemblies in the right place, okay, whether that's in the client, the common, or the server projects, okay? And now we can start using it. Just depends on what they are. There's a lot of functionality in this particular extension, okay? So there's the project detail report. The other thing that the Office Integration Pack will do is, remember when I showed you the import from Excel? Okay, that's on our materials. Okay, I'm going to view the screen code here. All you have to do is tell the Office Integration.excel.import me materials. That's all you need to do. And the extension will handle opening up a dialog so that the user can pick an Excel spreadsheet, and then it'll look through the Excel spreadsheet and it'll show the mapping and all of that. So this is the one line of code that you need to get an import to work from Excel. Okay? So it's free. All right, let's run it. And I'll just click the button real quick again and we'll move on. Yes, yeah, so the owner of GridLogic is a VSTO MVP, actually, Steve Hansen. And so he's an expert in office automation, and so he provided this for us. That's pretty cool. All right. And the source code is available for free, so you can tweak it if you want, if you're that kind of guy. All right, so here we go. Project report. There it goes, and it's automating office. All right? It works. And I already showed you the import, the other one, so I think we're good. What's that? So where is the template? That's good. Well, I mean, I wrote code to look for it in a specific place. Okay? I'm looking in my documents project status report, but if I don't find it, I have a little dialog that pops up. My dialog helper is actually a little custom class that I wrote. It's actually in the client side. So you can extend, like, this is a good example of extending the client. Just like I wrote that SMTP helper for the server project, I have my dialog helper for the client project. Flip to file view, add classes. The only difference is you have to know that you're writing Silverlight code in this case, right? You're in the Silverlight framework on the client, and the server is the full .NET framework. Okay, so when you start extending, that's kind of the only requirement you need to know. You've got to get your head around which framework you're targeting. Okay, so that's how to use an extension. Let's how to create a custom control. Let's see how to do that. So let's see. I'm really terrible at designing controls. So I'm going to do something simple. Let's just create a new. Let's go over here. I'm going to go to file view, and I'm going to say add. No, I'm going to say file add new project. No, file add. What is this? That's weird. Oh, wait. Stop. I can't add a new project when I'm debugging. Duh. All right. Jet lag. Whatever. New project. Okay. So because I'm using a pro or higher, I have, you know, access to all the other templates in Visual Studio, of course. Okay. So I'm going to go to Silverlight. And I'm at a Silverlight class library. All right. Now, I'm not the snazziest designer and, you know, I'm just going to create something simple. Let's create a new item. I'm just going to create a user control, but you could create, you have like probably way better Silverlight design skills than I do. So I'm just going to create this Silverlight user control, and I'm just going to create a list box. And maybe I'll change the color of it or something. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to grab a piece of code so I don't have to think. All right, this is just the code to create the control and bind it. Go back. Okay, stick it in here. All right, what is it doing? It's just setting the item source to the screen.employees. That's the view model. Okay, so every light switch screen starts with screen. Okay, that's the data context. And then all of the queries and commands and properties that you add to the view model are under that. So dot employees, in this case, I want to work with employee collection. Now, if that's because I want to specifically work with employees on this control. If you had a control that was much more generic, you could just say screen. And then the user, when they add the control, will set up the binding manually or pick it. I also want to just say that the selected item is a two-way data binding. So as I select things in my list, I want LightSwitch, you know, to flip all the rest of the controls. I want the currency to be in sync. Okay, so instead of making this a very ugly color, let's make it cool. Let's make it not white. Let's do something like that. Maybe Azure color. What's that? Like that? Everything's Azure now. Okay. All right, that looks a little different than what maybe that looks a little different. Okay, than what I had before. Okay, so all we're going to do is just build this. All right, now you could have, you know, code and way more XAML in there. Whatever your control does, it could be complicated. This is not complicated. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to flip back to my logical view and go into, let's just create a, actually, let's just modify the employee screen. Just add this control onto the screen. Okay, so here's my employees collection. I'm just going to add, there's a list box on the screen already. Let's just add the new list box we created. Underneath new custom control, okay, so now I just need to add a reference to my project Silverlight class library. Okay, it's going to read the controls in there, and now I just select my awesome control. Here's the binding down here. Okay, so we're going to start at screen, but there's employees right there. Okay. All right, so I don't need to specify anything here because I hard-coded it, but you get the idea. All right, so there's the screen content, and there's the custom control, and that's it. So we've bound that thing. Here it is right here. Bound that custom control, Silverlight control 1. All right, so anything else? Yeah, okay, actually, let's just run it, and if it starts to look funky, we'll change it at runtime. You set properties on how it should stretch or whatever in the designer, or you can do it here. So, let's see what this awesome control looks like. I'm so excited. The suspense is killing me. All right. Ooh, there it is down there. Looks kind of weenier down there. So it's kind of weeny. Let's fix that. Okay, so what I really want to do is I want to take this control, and I really don't want a label on it, so let's just do none. Okay, that looks a little bit better. It's still like kind of wiener down there, so let's just stretch it. Okay, that looks better. All right, so there's my custom control. You see, as I'm flipping, because I have the two-way data binding, everything is moving too. All right, so that's how you can use your own custom controls right on light switch screens. It's kind of a no-brainer. It's really the skill set is about Silverlight and developing the control itself. Okay? Any questions on custom control? You like it? It's kind of cool. All right, so let's go ahead, and we got 10 minutes left, and we can talk about building an extension itself. Now, so say we've got this control. It's awesome. I think I could sell this, and people would buy this, right? You're right. Come on, be kind. No, okay. Of course they wouldn't buy this particular control, but say it was awesome and I wanted to sell it. So what I need to do is, because a LightSwitch developer themselves doesn't have the projects for Silverlight you know, libraries. What we're going to need to do is we're going to need to wrap this up into a V6 package and give it to them, and then they install the package, okay? And they don't ever see this project. It's like your own proprietary code now, okay? So let's close this down. What I'm going to do is open up another version of Visual Studio. Okay, and I have, where are you? Here. And I have the extensibility toolkit installed. So let's go to new project, and we'll go to the light switch. And here's the extensibility. So once, so remember all the prerequisites we need? We need Pro or higher SP1. We need the Visual Studio SDK. And we also need the light switch extensibility toolkit. And once you install the light switch extensibility toolkit, you get these project templates in here. Okay, so let's just create a, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a theme. Okay, so I'm going to change the colors of our application. So I'm just going to create a quick theme. We'll just call it My Awesome Theme. Okay. Now, you can have multiple types of extensions or multiple extensions in one solution. Okay, so you're not required to say, here's a theme, here's a shell, they're different V6. They could all be one V6. Okay, it depends on how you want to package stuff up. Notice what you get is you get the project layout is very similar to what you see in the project layout of the LightSwitch app itself. You have a client. You have a client design. That's the design time pieces. If you have any like property sheets or anything like that, you need LightSwitch to display as the design is happening. Then you have the common. We have a common project. We have the server there. Okay. Then there's a couple other things. There's this weird LSPKG thing, and then there's the V6. Okay, the V6 is what's the output. Okay, so that's the project output. But what's this LSPKG means? Light switch packaging file. Okay, this is specific to light switch itself, and this is where we're going to add a new item. And here's where you get the 6 extensibility points. Okay, business type, control, data source, screen, template, shell, and theme. Okay, so depending on which one you pick, LightSwitch sets things up a little bit differently. Okay, so it sets things up, you know, kind of gives you the boilerplate template for loading, you know, a control or, you know, designing a data source or that kind of thing. Okay, it's up to you to write the functionality of this, of course. So I'm going to do a theme because it's probably the easiest to demonstrate. And awesome theme. Okay, so for this particular extension, LightSwitch dumps out all the default styles for you. So now you can go into Blend or wherever your favorite, you know, XAML editor is. Probably not Visual Studio. But this is where you can start. Gives you a good starting point. So what I'm going to do is change something that's kind of obvious. Here, the screen background brush. My favorite color is purple. It's going to look really ugly, but all the backgrounds of screens are going to be this. We can also change the loading, you know, the border, that kind of stuff. Buttons, you know, there's a lot of styles. There are a lot of free themes out there now, though, that people are creating. So you don't have to go through this if you're not a designer like me. You can go and just pick one, you know, that are available. Okay, so let's see what this is. So I'm not going to hit F5 in this case. There's a couple tricks that you can do debugging. When I hit F5, what will happen is Visual Studio will start up an experimental instance of Visual Studio. It'll attach the debugger to another instance of Visual Studio itself. Because depending on your extension, you may need to debug the design environment, right? Not just the runtime environment of a LightSwitch app. So let's say I have a business type and I've got, you know, the list in the list, it's not working right, or the property sheet that I want to display as I'm working with the control isn't loading correctly. Then we need to debug Visual Studio itself. So you need to hit F5, start the experimental instance. It's a little slower to debug because you're using, you know, you're debugging Visual Studio and you have 2 copies of it open. But if you are just writing an extension that enhances the runtime, like LightSwitch, like the Office Integration Pack is a good example. Okay, so it's, you know, it's code that needs to run in the app itself. You don't need to do that. You can just start up your own app, start up, you know, Visual Studio, run the app, then load your extension files into that copy of Visual Studio and debug it from there. It's a lot faster. Okay, it's a lot faster than debugging it through here. Okay, so it just depends on what you need to debug. Okay, so for my case, I'm just going to build. As you start building extensions, we have a whole forum, an extensibility forum, and there's actually a lot of people in there that on the team that help people debug their stuff, because debugging is sometimes difficult, as we know. Okay, so I've built a theme. Now I've got the V6, right? So let's just open this up in Windows. Okay, so we got a bin. I did this to debug, but there's the V6 package. Okay, so I'm going to click on it, install it. Okay, cool. Once you do that, let's close. I got to restart Visual Studio, because a V6 package requires you to restart Visual Studio when you install it, okay, and any extension. Let's close this too. All right, so let's go back to our app. If it opens, come on, dude. Did I get you? There it goes. Oh, I did it twice. There we go. You know that always happens. It's all right. Okay, this is going to look lovely. I can feel it. Especially with my green list box. The purple and green, I think, is going to go really good. All right, so here's our project. And now I'm going to go into the properties. Okay, we'll go over to our extensions, and there's my awesome theme. I did this once before. I did wacky theme last time, but there's the awesome theme. Okay, and now once I've enabled that, the way themes work is you go to the general properties, and you'll see there's the theme here. Okay, so there's awesome theme. All right, you ready to check this thing out? Hopefully it will be awesome. Because, you know, a dark purple background with black writing is exactly what we want users to be looking at. Okay, there's the purple. There's the background. Okay, so that's the extent of my awesome theme. Okay, but you get the idea. Okay, so you can change all the look, entire look and feel. A better idea would probably be to use one of the themes that, you know, somebody real built instead of mine. There's the Lightswitch Metro theme. This one is totally available free. All of the source code is included. Okay, the team built this one so that you can take a look at what a real theme should look like. It also has some buttons and different icons and that sort of thing. So let's enable this one instead so it's not so ugly. Okay, there's the Metro theme. It's a little more text heavy. There's not as much lines in the grids and that sort of stuff. You'll see it's Metro, you know. It's text heavy, less color. My particular application uses a lot of buttons and color, so this theme, you know, doesn't look as good, I don't think. But if you have an application that uses a lot less controls all over the place and is a lot more text heavy, it looks better. So there, see the difference in these data grids here. So let's see, like, let's take a look at customer, you know, just kind of first, these are capitalized, you know, this is all capitalized, you know, heavy duty text. There's like different little bit of color, but there's the slider, there's the pager, that's it. Okay, save, refresh, design screen. So there's a different theme, okay, different look and feel. All right, cool. All right, so any questions on that? Okay, so what we've done was we've taken a step through the spectrum of customization that you can do in Lightswitch. There's a lot of things that you can do. We've really made it so that you don't hit the glass ceiling. Okay, there's no glass ceiling. Underneath the covers, it's still a Silverlight front end, an ASP.NET 4 server, you know, project. You can add code to it. You can do whatever you want. Not only that, you can create your own controls. You can then create your own V6 packages and extensions. Look at all the extensions available out there. There's a lot of things that people are creating. You want a report writer? $99 DevExpress has an entire report writer you can use inside a Lightswitch. Okay, so these are the types of things that we were hoping that our, you know, component vendors and the community will start enhancing Lightswitch to the point where, you know, you can have some really compelling business apps that you get done really quickly because people are writing reusable components that you can take advantage of. Okay, all right, so I'm going to take questions, but I want to show the last slide here just for resources, for more information. Okay? The number one place to remember is msdn.com/lightswitch. From there, you can get to everything. Okay? You can get to the sample I showed today, the extensibility toolkits there, everything. Okay? If you don't see it, you can email me. I have cards. Also, I want to say before I take questions, I have a bunch of reviewer's guides. You can convince your business or your boss. These are basically written for business decision makers. It's not a lot of technical stuff in here. But it gives a lot of good examples of what Lightswitch can do for you. Okay, so come up, and if you're interested in convincing people, come up and get this. All right, questions. You were first, yes. Yes, we have new versions planned. Yeah, we are working on the next versions of Lightswitch. I can guarantee that. Yes. You can create. Yeah, so right now you can choose the locale, but it's just one. Okay, so if you need to have multiple, you would need to have multiple deployments, and you'd have to change the locales for each one of them. It's a common request we're looking at for a future enhancement to allow multiple languages at the same time. No promises, but we hear your feedback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is a particular implementation detail of the Office Integration Pack. So the question was, where did Lightswitch know where to put the information in that table? If you look at the sample code that comes with the Office Integration extension, all it does is it looks at a bookmark. You bookmark a table, and it looks at that bookmark table, and it populates the data there. So you have that table mapping, and it's a bookmark table. So you can create really nice templates and bookmark tables, and then the extension itself will stuff it exactly where you tell it to. And so that's what I was doing. Yes, you bookmark a table inside the Word document. You create content controls for the content that you want to show, the dates and the names and things like that. And then that thing will stuff that stuff in there in the right place. Okay? Check it out. It's a cool extension. Yes. Yes. So I showed you the file view. So when you're in file view, you have multiple projects. It's just with source code. Okay. So the thing is that the LSML file is what, you're going to have to do some merging on that. So depending on how many screens people are modifying and creating, you're going to have to do a merge conflict on that file. Okay. For the next version, we have separated the client, the server, and the common LSML. So it's a little bit less of a conflict, so you have three files instead of one gigantic one. So it's a little bit easier in the next version. That was a feature I just told you. That's promised. Yes? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You will be able to take your projects you build today and move it forward, and your extensions. We're making sure that works. Yes. Any other questions? Okay, if there is, come up and take a card and take a reviewer guide. And I hope you guys enjoyed yourself, Lightswitch. I'm having a ball with it. I hope you do too. Thank you.